was at an ending ceremony at a week-long Omega workshop in Western Massachusetts. Have some of you been to Omega? It's a wonderful place. Many workshops of all stripes. At this ending ceremony, all the workshops from that week were gathered together for their final goodbyes. The singing workshop I was attending, the spirituality of basketball workshop, mindful cooking, etc. Hundreds of people were gathered on an open lawn on a beautiful summer day, and a young, handsome rabbi stood up to speak. He said, "I've just gotten married, and I'm so happy. During the ceremony, my bride and I faced each other and sang this song, 'Return again, return again, return to the home of your soul. Return to what you are, return to who you are, return to where you are, born and reborn again.'" That was the first time I had heard that song. This rabbi was so joyful as he spoke and sang and filled with so much happiness. He said, "I'm going to teach you this song." We all sang it. Then he said, "Turn to someone you don't know and sing it to them." Hundreds of us turned to the other hundreds of us and sang. I looked into a stranger's eyes and sang, and beyond my own stranger, I saw hundreds of other people singing to each other. I was lifted, I was transported, but also deeply in the very moment, that very moment of singing. I felt incredibly connected to so many people I didn't know and would never see again. Sometime later, I came across the word oversoul. And in that moment, I knew how to describe this feeling I had while singing at Omega. It was a word coined by that Boston Unitarian minister, Ralph Waldo Emerson. Emerson says that in each of us, we have a soul. But for us here at South Church, please feel free to translate that word into your own UU vocabulary. To make it meaningful for you, you might say spirit, center, or essence. But since I'm quoting the wonderful, famous Ralph Waldo Emerson, I will use his word, soul. Emerson says that in each of us, we have a soul that is connected to every other person's soul and to creation or creator and to all things animate and inanimate in our universe. In other words, we make up one big soul or oversoul. Emerson continues, "As the earth lies in the soft arms of the atmosphere, so too are we contained and made one with all others in the common heart." Oh, I love this thinking and these beautiful poetic words, so I think I'll say it again. As the earth lies in the soft arms of the atmosphere, so too are we contained and made one with all others in the common heart. For most of us, and most of the time, we can feel kind of separate from each other. But then we do have experiences that connect us. Emerson describes the feeling of this linking up in this way, that shudder of awe and delight with which the individual soul mingles with the universal soul. But for each of us, I think it can be quite a different experience. We might be surprised, pleased, happy, we might cry, we might feel deeply at peace, or even a bit shaken by these experiences. For me, I love them. I feel I'm supposed to be quite connected up to everybody. So when I experience that feeling of oversoul, I feel like I am myself. And I'm where I'm meant to be, doing what I'm meant to do in this life. Of course, the larger the experience, the larger the feeling of oversoul. When people, places, and things all connect that have been planned not to connect, the feeling of oversoul can be giant, like I'm a Macy's Day Thanksgiving Day balloon, floating and large, hovering over the New York City skyline. Notice the cover. I felt when I chose this cover, I was channeling Reverend Chris just a bit. In 2012, I took 120 women from Voices from the Heart on a singing humanitarian trip to Cuba. At that time, you could not go to Cuba unless you've received a special artist license from the U.S. government. The Cubans were happy to have us visit, but our own government was not. After being turned down at our first request, we rewrote our proposal and was granted the license. There were many things standing in our way. Needless to say, the U.S. embargo imposed on Cuba being the largest one. But also, we couldn't take credit cards, we weren't able to be in contact with loved ones via cell phone, and email was really hard to come by. There were many incredible experiences with this trip and too many for one sermon, but here's one. On our trip, we sang at a theater. One of the songs I conducted was a song I learned here at South Church. I call it Finlandia, but in your hymnal, it's listed two times, and one of them is called This Is My Home. I've made this song into an international anthem, and I like to sing it everywhere I go. We began it like this, an instrumental introduction over which the Spanish translation was read, followed by singing. Most people in Cuba do not speak English. This was our last song of that concert, and as the Spanish translation was read, my eyes locked with a woman in the audience. And at that same moment, we were deeply connected. As soon as the concert was over, we walked towards each other, held each other, and cried. This is oversoul to me. We didn't speak. We did not need to. During the trip, we sang with the National Choir of Cuba, directed by Digna Guerra at the Museum of the Revolution in Havana. While in Cuba, I invited Digna and the National Choir of Cuba to Portsmouth. Later that same year, amazingly to me, they actually came, and they stayed in our homes. The choir is made up of about 30 singers who've given up professional jobs as engineers and teachers to sing in the choir. They are paid much better in the National Choir than any other job in Cuba, and they get to travel and sing. I wanted to set up a few concerts here for them. I tried to set one up at UNH, but was told at UNH that it was too controversial and they could not come to UNH. When I asked Reverends Chris and Lauren, they welcomed them with open arms. While rehearsing right here on this chancel, Lauren came upstairs from the then office and spoke to them in Spanish, welcoming them to the country, to Portsmouth, and to our church. I love this church. The Cubans arrived one day late due to Superstorm Sandy and had to perform the day they arrived. The church was filled with 600 audience members. And as the Cubans walked down the center aisle, everyone stood and applauded them. It felt like a wedding when the much-anticipated bride walks down the center aisle. I was so proud of this church. The Cuban choir came up here on the chancel, ready to sing. And the audience sat back, focused on the front, ready to listen. When one singing soul reached out, a lone Cuban singer from the back. Of course, we were ready to hear amazing Cuban music. But in order to reach out to us as Americans, the lone Cuban woman began to walk in from the back, singing this.
Shenandoah, I'm bound to leave you. Away, you rolling river. Oh, Shenandoah, I'm bound to leave you. Away, I'm bound to.
The Cubans had reached out to us. Barriers were broken. Souls were connected. Americans here in the sanctuary cried, All this despite an embargo, despite band travel, despite language barriers, but because of music. When we sing to each other, and when we sing each other's songs, we are creating a bridge for our souls to connect. In fact, in the former Yugoslavia, there is such a way to sing called Pont Anima, or translated Soul Bridge. After the Balkan War, Yugoslavia was broken into six countries: Croatia, Serbia, Bosnia, Macedonia, Slovenia, Montenegro. The people in these countries were enemies. They had killed each other's families, they had burned down each other's homes, they had planted landmines so people could not be back to rebuild their homes. I saw all of that on my trip there in 2007. But the chorus was founded, Pont Anima. People from all over these different countries came together to sing each other's songs. And at first it was anathema to them to sing songs of their enemies. It made them feel physically ill to just be in the room with each other, never mind sing the songs of the others. But they did sing, and they connected the souls of the enemies and showed all who would listen to them how to create that Pont Anima, that soul bridge. Today you've heard some gospel music, and we'll close with one more great gospel tune. Of course, there's that tired old joke of the UUs about singing. If you don't hear UU singing, it's because they're reading ahead to see if they agree with the lyrics. But what if we bridged our differences by singing each other's songs, welcoming all? Two of my favorite kinds of choral music are South African music and gospel music. I love them. Last summer, I brought two amazing leaders to the seacoast to conduct a workshop of both kinds of music, Bongani Magatiana from Cape Town, South Africa, and Kathy Bullock from Berea, Kentucky. I've loved singing with Kathy for many years. I always seek out her workshops. She's clearly rooted in her own Christian beliefs, but is not interested in converting people religiously. She's interested in sharing her music and her culture because of its energy and beauty and history. And also great fun. How respectful it is to sing from someone else's musical tradition. How enriching it is for our own lives to step into someone else's shoes and just walk around a bit. So I hope today when you hear this beautiful gospel music, you won't want to check out the words first, but you'll just soak it up, clap along. Finally, I want to bring you right back into this sanctuary again, to just a few weeks ago. Kicking off our concert series, I brought a quintet of five musicians to South Church from New York City, mostly Juilliard School musicians. Two of the young women were from Korea, one from China, and two from the U.S. I think many of you know longtime South Church member Susan Dewhurst. Susan and her husband have two daughters. I'm sure you've seen her youngest, Lulu, skipping down the aisle to hear the story of all ages, dressed maybe as a fairy or a ballerina or some other beautiful costume she's chosen for that day. Lulu is from China and came to the U.S. when she was five. She's eight now. When Yi Chin, the cellist, who was sitting right there about where Theo is now, played the cello and Yun Li played the piano, Susan brought Lulu up to that second row to sit up very close. Lulu sat on her mom's lap and stared intently at Yi Chin playing the cello the whole time they played, not moving a muscle. I spent the whole weekend with these musicians, three concerts, a service. They're so gifted and talented. But for me, the most important part of that weekend and the part that made me cry was watching Lulu diving so deep into the music and seeing someone who looked like her, so accomplished. All my work for that weekend was worth that moment here in our sanctuary, where I do believe two souls connected were held and made one in the common heart. Amen and blessed be.